Earth and Sky.
The heart in space actually handles itself quite well. The biggest clinical problem occurs when astronauts come back down to Earth.
You're listening to Benjamin Levine, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Levine is a physician scientist and team leader in cardiovascular research for the National Space Biomedical Research Institute. Earth Sky's Jeremy Shear talked with him about health risks for astronauts. In reduced gravity, Levine said, muscles, bones, and the heart have the capacity to atrophy. But as with some earthbound maladies, exercise can help.
So astronauts spend a lot of time in microgravity environments. So what effect does this have on the body?
You can imagine that if your muscles get weak, you may not be as strong as you were. That's not a big clinical problem, frankly. But if your bones get weak, that's potentially a disaster.
How quickly does this set in, the loss of muscle mass and bone density?
Well, the loss of muscle mass begins almost immediately. You know, just as if I were to go and lift weights this afternoon, my muscles would immediately start making more protein. And over a very brief period of time, if I'm not using those anti-gravity muscles, they'll start breaking down the protein and making less. So, you know, that happens fairly quickly.
I want to transition a bit and talk about your research on exercise for astronauts. And I think this relates obviously to bone loss and loss of muscle mass. So
let me talk briefly about the heart for a minute.
Okay, sure.
Because that's, I think, important, okay?
Okay.
So let's say that I'm sitting here in this chair talking to you, and all of a sudden you send me briskly up into space. Well, all that blood that's sitting below my heart now rushes up into my chest because gravity is not pulling it down to my feet. The heart then will initially swell and expand, and there are lots of very sensitive nerve endings within the walls of the heart itself, within the upper chambers and the lower chambers, and they say, whoa, too much blood, and they start to get rid of it. That's why the first thing you have to do when you get up in the morning is you have to go to the bathroom and pee, because your body is getting rid of all that fluid that rushed into your chest when you lay down at night. And indeed, bed rest, or lying down in bed, is a model that we use here on Earth to simulate the cardiovascular effects of spaceflight. So now the heart has gotten rid of a bunch of blood, and it modifies its size. So it loses a bunch of volume, maybe half a liter or so, half a quart of blood is gone. And as the heart gets smaller, it says, well, we don't need to work so hard, so let's lose some muscle. With this initial adaptation in the heart, to the heart, the biggest clinical problem occurs when astronauts come back down to Earth. And then all of a sudden they've got a small empty heart, and when they stand up, once again, gravity sucks blood into the feet, but there's not enough blood left in the heart. The next question would be, how can you prevent the heart from atrophying? And one of the best ways to do that is by exercise.
What sort of exercise or training have you found is most beneficial for astronauts on long missions?
To figure that out, we looked to the sporting world and asked which athletes have the biggest hearts, the densest bones, the biggest muscles. And that was a pretty quick answer. It's rowers. Rowing is a very unique exercise. With each pull of the stroke, it's sort of like a combination of weight training and endurance training. And the blood pressure goes up really high with each stroke, so it's a good solid workout for the heart. So we said, okay, let's do a rowing program, and let's not just do it like someone's going to the gym. Let's use the kind of training that elite competitive athletes use. And we showed that you completely prevent atrophy of the heart, and we are still analyzing this data, but we believe we've improved the strength of the bones as well.
Do you suspect that all astronauts will benefit from the same type of exercise, say rowing?
I think there's little doubt about that. The subjects in our studies have been men, women, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, all sizes and shapes, ages, the broad age range of the astronaut corps, different levels of fitness, and they all benefit from rowing.
Let me ask you, it's my understanding that the regimen you're designing also includes a nutritional supplement of potassium magnesium citrate? What is this for?
One of our colleagues, a guy named Joe Zervek at UT Southwestern, has shown that another way to minimize the effects of spaceflight or microgravity on bones is to change the acid-base balance of the body and give the kidney something else to excrete instead of calcium. The main ion in bone is calcium. So if you give a little bit of magnesium complexed with citrate and potassium, it changes the content of the urine, and so you just don't pee out as much calcium, you pee out a bunch of magnesium, and you prevent one of the other important complications of this loss of bone mass, which is kidney stones. So Joe has done some interesting studies showing that this KMAG sit alters the acid-base balance of the urine and reduces its stone-forming propensity. And we're now studying that in combination with exercise training, which we think may be the best combination, the two of them together.
Okay, so one final question. This research you're doing on exercise for astronauts in space, how could this be used to help people on Earth?
Well, in fact, it's being used to help people on Earth right now. There's an interesting syndrome called the postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. What that means is when you stand up, your heart beats fast. And it actually can be quite debilitating. It affects mostly young women. And these women have a lot of trouble standing up. They get very weak, tired, fatigued, their heart pounds, they get headaches, and they're very, very incapacitated. There may be as many as 500,000 young women in the United States who have this syndrome. And Dr. Chi Fu, who is a neurologist and autonomic neuroscientist here at our research institute, is funded by the National Institutes of Health to do an exercise intervention on patients with POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And what exercise regimen did she choose? Well, based on our work with the NSVRI, she chose rowing. And we've managed to have quite dramatic clinical benefit for these patients.
That was cardiologist Benjamin Levine, a professor at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center and director of the Institute for Exercise and Environmental Medicine at the Presbyterian Hospital of Dallas. Special thanks today to the National Space Biomedical Research Institute, Innovations for Health in Space and on Earth. For this and other free science podcasts, come to earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you've been listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.